Hi, and thanks for tuning in to Sunday Morning. I'm Nathan Scott. In the studio with me again from around this time last year is Ranger Shannon McLucas from the Fort McHenry Historic Monument and... No, I'm sorry, I got that backwards. It's the Fort McHenry National Monument and Historic Shrine. Whew! To talk about some of the celebrations and activities that are coming up over the next couple of weeks. Shannon, thank you so much for coming in with me.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate that.
So, for anyone who wasn't listening this time a year ago, which I would imagine is a significant number of people, can you tell us a little bit about what events you're looking forward to at Fort McHenry within the next couple of weeks?
Well, the wonderful thing about Defenders Day is that each year we look forward to this. It's a great tradition, not just for Baltimore, but for the Locust Point neighborhood. It's really a way of celebrating, commemorating not only the successful defense of Baltimore in 1814, where Fort McHenry was played a crucial role, but the tradition of Defenders Day, as it's continued since essentially 1815, when they laid the cornerstone for the battle monument in Baltimore City. That tradition connects the community with this national park or national monument and historic shrine. And here in our hometown, we have the only historic shrine in the Park Service because Fort McHenry has that singular place in U.S. history as the home of the Star-Spangled Banner. So the events this coming weekend, it's going to be a lot of fun for everybody, for people who are interested in history, for those who are new to the national parks. For children, they can come out and we have some kids' games they can enjoy. This takes place September 13th through the 15th. So it kicks off on the 13th with the parade through Locust Point that's going to include not only Rangers, but field music from the era of the War of 1812, from the Civil War, from the First World War. And we're going to feature some modern soldiers to give the idea that there are connecting generations that serve under the Star-Spangled Banner. Because this year, the U.S. Army will be helping us out in supporting the event. They're sending the U.S. Army Field Band to perform a concert on Saturday night. The Presidential Salute Battery will be there to conduct a mock bombardment to remind the crowd of the bombardment that took place. And that'll be underscored by the U.S. Army Field Band, along with the fireworks show at the end of the night.
And this is a fantastic opportunity to get out with your family, with your significant other, just experience some living history, which we'll talk more about that in just a moment, and also to kind of literally send the summer out with a bang, this being one of the final weekends before we officially get into the autumn season, as crazy as that may seem. But living history, that's something that doesn't just happen during Defenders Day, but this is something that you can experience at Fort McHenry throughout the year. Can you tell me a little bit about what living history programs there look like and what sort of engagement you have in kids versus adults?
Oh, absolutely. The Fort McHenry Guard has been around since 1983. It began as a volunteer program. And so Fort McHenry is home to one of the largest living history organizations in the National Park Service. And so the way we can help visitors to experience history in the park is to include the sights, the sounds, the actual smells. When you hear when you hear the musket fire, you hear the crack of it, and then you smell the powder burning.
Right.
You smell the campfires. Sometimes we're making coffee and cooking. So we have cooking demonstrations. The women there can show you how laundry was done. Some of the laundresses are actually the first government contractors and vital to the health of a garrison.
Right.
So they can show you all the work that went into that. And then, of course, we have musket demonstrations to show you what a soldier in a sailor's life would be. We have a variety of demonstration and talks. Sometimes we'll pull the guns in on the water battery so you can learn what a sailor would do to crew one of the Navy guns during the Battle of Baltimore. And then we have some children's games that are drawn from the 19th century that people can play. And I've not only seen kids playing them, but their parents sometimes help out too. So we have that throughout. And then, of course, the sounds of the War of 1812, you can't help but think of fife and drum. So you can hear the roar of the drums, and it echoes beyond the Star Fort. So you can hear our Fort McHenry Guard Fife and Drum Corps playing as soon as you come into the park.
And one of the neatest things about the park as well is that it's in a historic, not just, it's a historic location on its own, but it's also in a historic neighborhood. Do people get to learn at all about the history of the area surrounding the fort?
I'm happy to talk with folks about Locust Point. That neighborhood actually has a wonderful connection with the preservation of Fort McHenry. The neighborhood, of course, develops as a result of the emergence of the B&O Railroad and then the Western Maryland Railroad over the course of the 19th century and 20th century. But the really fascinating thing about Locust Point is that back in the 1970s, when there was initially a plan to connect the Interstate 95 using a bridge that would go over Fort McHenry, the folks in Locust Point said, absolutely not. They put their foot down, and they also helped to mobilize support amongst not just Baltimoreans, you know, not just Locust Point, South Baltimore, but the entire city and then the state to put pressure on the city council and to stop that project. So you'll notice if you come to Fort McHenry, there's no bridge there. And
right.
It's a great example of a community coming together to preserve their hometown national park.
And again, that's something else that people should be reminded of, that this, as much as it's a local attraction and local history, its national importance is also recognized by the fact that it is a part of the National Park Service. Something that I feel is important to ask, especially considering the beginning of this year when the National Park Service did not have funding rolling in. How have things been getting things started back up? Have there been any problems that arose because of that, or have you been able to basically hit the ground running again?
Well, it was an interesting experience being someone who was affected by the shutdown. But what was remarkable to me, I happen to be the volunteer coordinator for our park. And so when I came back to work, you know, turned on the computer and started going through the many emails, many of them I saw were people writing in saying, how can I help? You know, do you guys need help cleaning, or do you, just asking, you know, what can I do? And so as a public servant and, you know, as a park ranger, it was very heartening to come back and find that welcome from people all over. These were all folks from all over the city who were saying, how can I help? And they wanted to be a part of Fort McHenry. And so seeing that, it was wonderful, because you realize that these really are the parks of the American people and they care a great deal. So we were back up and running pretty quickly, and we were welcomed. It was great to have our regulars come back in, and they were welcoming. You know, hey, Ranger, glad to see you.
Right.
So it's really, there's no other job where you can get that kind of response from people you've never met. It's just a really, really cool experience.
And this also, as a reminder, most national parks have an organization, typically, you know, Friends of Fort McHenry in this case, and it will vary depending on the park. Obviously, the name changes, but it's normally Friends of. What sort of work does Friends of Fort McHenry do to support the day-to-day operations of the park, or even some of the living history that we talked about earlier?
Well, our Friends group, they do a great variety of things. They'll raise funds for sometimes maintenance projects that are needed. They'll also help out in terms of educational programming. So if you think about the Fort Flag Freedom Living History Program, they and our partners with Living Classrooms coordinate their efforts to support that program. So our friends contribute in a variety of ways, and they also help to bring in some additional volunteers if we have a big event. Like next year, you'll find Defenders Day and Fleet Week combined.
Gosh.
It's an all-hands-on-deck event, literally.
Yeah.
So our friends help us out in that regard, too.
So we'll get back to talking about Defenders Day now, actually. We've spoken a little bit about the overview of the event. Again, this is the 13th through the 15th of September, so it's a long but fantastic weekend. And you have some new things that are going on this year. Specifically, I want to talk first about the fact that Congressman John Sarbanes will be honored with an award. Can you tell me how that came about and what the award is recognizing?
Well, Congressman John Sarbanes is actually following very much in the footsteps of his father, Senator Sarbanes, in that he's very closely connected with the story of preservation of Fort McHenry. Paul Sarbanes, of course, played a great role in getting our visitor center up and running, and his son played a pivotal role in establishing the Star-Spangled Banner National Historic Trail. So he's a great supporter of the park and both the national parks in this part of Maryland. So we're thanking him for that, for his effort as a public servant to make sure that these stories are preserved not simply at Fort McHenry, but all along the Star-Spangled Banner National Historic Trail, which covers a considerable part of Maryland and parts of D.C. And he got that, you know, up and running, kept it going, and we want to thank him with the Key Award.
And these are sites that celebrate the history of the War of 1812, of Francis Scott Key, another person for whom many things throughout the state of Maryland are named, and of course the author of the Star-Spangled Banner. You'll have an opportunity to hear that song along with quite a few others and a lot of the performances that'll be taking place. And I understand you have some new additions to the celebration this year from last year.
Well, this year, as I mentioned, we have the U.S. Army Field Band, and they're returning, but we also have a group called the Six String Soldiers, and these are they're joining us from the U.S. Army. The Military District of Washington has a lot of talented soldiers out there, so that's a guitar ensemble. They'll be performing for us at the start of the show. The U.S. Army Field Band will be featured for about an hour, and we have our own, of course, fife and drum music that you'll hear.
Right.
And the evening program begins about 5 p.m. So so my day starts at 5 a.m.
Right.
The program Same. Starts at 5 p.m. And it's a free program. So if you want to come out, you just bring your blanket, your cooler, you know, you bring your picnic dinner. Starting 5 o'clock, you're going to hear the six-string soldiers performing, mm-hmm. and then eventually the Army Field Band. And that's going to be finished off with the fireworks in the evening. So it's really a grand event, and it's great for the family to attend. And, you know, you can't beat free.
There's also some unique offerings as far as the living history is concerned. Obviously, a lot of the time, the living history at the fort centers around the War of 1812. That's, of course, the time period for which it's most famously used and has the song inspired by it. But I understand there will be some other eras of American warfare that will be represented at the fort that weekend.
Well, it's not, we think of it more in terms of American service, because what we're looking at with the U.S. Army helping us out for that evening program,
right.
one of the things that we also want to celebrate and focus on is the long history of the Army's service at Fort McHenry. And
mm-hmm.
so we begin with the early defenders in the War of 1812, but then the idea of the Army, the motto behind it in 1775 was "This will defend." So when we think about that, there's a great variety of defenders. In 1812,
right.
it was defending the city. In the Civil War, when the U.S. Army occupied the garrison at Fort McHenry,
mm-hmm.
It was defending the Union, the idea of the Union and keeping it, intact. But then
right.
later on, when the U.S. Army is still there during the First World War, and mm-hmm. there's a 3,000-bed hospital established at Fort McHenry, it's called General Hospital No. 2, they, through their work, are truly defending the dignity of the men returning from the Western Front by restoring them to health in as many ways as they're able to. So we're giving some walking tours, some guided ranger tours that will combine living history along with a ranger tour to explore those different eras. So you'll get into a variety of times during which the Army served at Fort McHenry, and that's what we're really going to celebrate. Part of the parade, we're going to have a multi-era parade. So you can see the uniforms, get an idea of how soldiers look during that period. And one of the things that we'll also do on mm-hmm. Saturday is swear in a new generation of defenders. There's a swearing-in ceremony for those soldiers who are enlisting, and that's going to take place at 5:30. It's actually going to be conducted by, a hometown man, Major General Omar Jones IV, who is now the commanding officer of the Military District of Washington, is a Baltimorean, and
mm-hmm.
he's going to be helping us out by, he's going to be conducting that swearing-in of new soldiers at Fort McHenry.
And this is something that I think even people in the military itself may not necessarily realize about the area, is just not only do we have, a lot of military bases nearby that continue to operate, but we also have a lot of military history in the Bay Area, especially including Fort McHenry, that people can take advantage of, whether that be some of the sites in D.C., some of the sites in Virginia, the Naval Academy in Annapolis, or our very own fort right there in the Inner Harbor. If you're just tuning in, my name is Nathan Scott. You're listening to Sunday Morning, and I'm speaking with Ranger Shannon McLucas, who is from the Fort McHenry National Monument and Historic Shrine. Got it that time. And we're speaking about Defenders Day, which is going to be coming up in September, not too much further away, as crazy as that may seem. That's going to be the 13th through the 15th. And just talking about a lot of what's going on over the course of that weekend. Before we get back to Defenders Day, I do want to talk about an event going on in the surrounding neighborhood. With any national park, the support of the the residents and the community surrounding it is vital to its continued maintenance and its continued survival as a historic site. How is the fort going to be getting involved in the neighborhood around it in the month of September?
I'm glad you asked that. We're actually going to kick off our sort of participation in the end of the summer activities with Locust Point at the Locust Point Civic Association Festival on
mm-hmm.
September 8th. So we'll be there. We're going to bring Buddy Bison, the mascot of the National Parks Trust. We'll bring him along, but we'll have some rangers there to meet and greet folks and talk
mm-hmm.
about the history of not just Fort McHenry, but also the neighborhood Locust Point and its relationship with the fort. And then on September 13th
mm-hmm.
at 7 o'clock in the evening, we will step off from Hall Street, which, if you're familiar with Locust Point, it's right down there at the end of next to the river.
Uh-huh.
And we'll parade through Locust Point with members of the Fort McHenry Guard, some other living history folks who are kitted out in Civil War uniforms and World War I uniforms. And we'll also have some new active duty soldiers joining us so that we can show those different generations of defenders who served at Fort McHenry and
right.
continue to serve today. So we'll come through with fife and drum, and of course, being the National Park Service, you'll see some rangers there in our, uh-huh. in our flat hats carrying the green and gray guidon, representing essentially the defenders of our public lands. And so it's a nice combination of mm-hmm. these different ideals of those who served at the fort during its time as an active military base, but then also the idea that the neighborhood helps us to protect essentially your historic shrine.
Right. And you said it best earlier. You referred to it as not American warfare, but American service. And this parade is an opportunity to see that legacy of service as a reminder that the fort has been, you know, central in military history from 1814 until now. And this event, not obviously the finer details of it, but this recognition of Defenders Day has been going on essentially since the end of the War of 1812. Is that correct?
That's right. It's celebrated essentially beginning in 1815. I mean, obviously, people were celebrating once the British left in 1814.
Right.
But the idea of commemorating it regularly begins almost straight away. As I said, if you go down to Calvert Street and you look at the battle monument,
mm-hmm.
The work on that battle monument begins with the cornerstone laid by George Armistead in 1815. And now that's the symbol of our city of Baltimore. And so Baltimore's strong connection with the battle that takes place at Fort McHenry and the defenders who served at North Point, it's deeply ingrained in the history of our city. And so commemorating it is just, it's something we do. It's a tradition that continues every year, and we're very proud to hold it at Fort McHenry. But we'd invite everybody to come on down, and if you haven't learned quite about that, if you're a new Baltimorean and you want to experience something that is quintessentially Baltimore and Maryland's oldest holiday, you should join us for Defenders Day. It's a great place to come down and to learn, to just relax by the river and enjoy a good show.
So we've talked a lot about what's going on Saturday evening, and we'll give you a quick reminder of that in just a moment. But I'd like to talk now about what's going on during the day. Just as a reminder, you can make a whole day out of this. The events start at 9 in the morning. Can you tell me a little bit about what special experiences will be taking place on the Saturday leading up to the swearing-in and the fireworks presentation later on?
So throughout the day, as always, we have ranger programs that take mm-hmm. place essentially every hour, and we'll have musket demonstrations as well, so you can see how different firearms were used during the War of 1812 and
mm-hmm.
during the Civil War as well. So you get a little information about military tactics and then what a soldier's experience would be, because, you know, drilling is part of the life of Fort McHenry
right.
too. But then we also have talks that will cover the history of the Star-Spangled Banner. So the
mm-hmm.
flag talks will get out a replica Star-Spangled Banner and talk about its history and how it becomes part of our national identity. So another thing that people really enjoy from the very, very start of the day at 10 o'clock, if you want to join us in putting the flag up over Fort McHenry and raising that, you just join
mm-hmm.
a park ranger on that morning. We'll actually have a full parade. We'll have a full parade of the Fort McHenry Guard Living History folks and
mm-hmm.
a park ranger. You can help them put up the Star-Spangled Banner for the day.
Yeah.
That's a nice hands-on program. We try to make sure all of our programs are truly engaging the public. So
mm-hmm.
we also have a ranger-facilitated walking tour that will take you through the fort.
And that's new for this year, is that correct?
It is. It's something we used for Light City, and we decided to tweak it a little bit and
mm-hmm.
change it up. And it's something we found visitors are really, really enjoy, is getting that back and forth between living history and then a ranger program, and then making their way around the fort in a, you know, a guided way is something
right.
I enjoy.
And, you know, you can really mix whatever your favorite learning style is. If you're someone who likes hands-on activities, you have those. If you're someone who enjoys, getting more of a, I'd say, academic experience where you kind of just see the history rather than experience it. And then there, if you want to do self-guided walks, there are obviously some areas that you will not be able to go to if you're not with a ranger, but just to kind of take the atmosphere in. All those different ways of experiencing the fort are available to you.
Oh, yeah,
and this
absolutely.
Is a great weekend to be there.
Yeah, it is. And the thing is, when people who prefer to self-guide, we're always happy to just chat with them.
Mm-hmm.
Informal interpretation is something we do all the time, and it simply begins with, do you happen to have any questions about anything?
Right.
And I'll find that occasionally that question will lead to maybe a 30-minute Ranger talk. but it's really interesting because as soon as people realize they have one question, it leads to 20 others, which is really what experiencing a national park is all about, is learning more.
What would you say of the people that you interact with, what would you say is the most common question that you get about the fort?
Okay, because the most common question is where are the bathrooms?
The most common historic question that you get about the park.
The historic question, we get some really funny questions, but the one I hear most frequently is, what do you find most interesting about Fort McHenry?
Uh-huh.
People ask that of rangers at different parks, but they'll say, what do you find most interesting about your park? And so for me, what I find most fascinating as an American historian is that we don't have just one story. We have a multitude of stories to talk about. We can look at the defenders in the War of 1812. We can look at the women who worked there during the War of 1812 era. But then we can get into the Civil War. We could talk about the constitutional questions about the suspension of the writ of habeas corpus in Maryland and how Maryland's kept in the Union during the Civil War. We can get into the daily life of a soldier during that time period. And then when we get to the First World War, we get to look at how people can deal with the inevitable consequence of war, which is dealing with wounds and illnesses, and how do we treat them. So when we look at the work of doctors and nurses during that period, 1917 to 1923, what we really get is that human experience of how we can pull a community together and help to heal a generation of men returning with great changes to their lives.
Yeah.
So what's interesting to me is that we have so many different stories, and those are just three that we focus on, but there are many, many others. And so I'd invite folks to come down and ask all of those questions.
So as an American historian, there have been a couple of articles that have come out recently about the drop in attendance at national parks. It's a resource that people either don't seem to realize they have anymore, or that they're not as interested in as before. What, in your view, is the most important reason that people should take advantage of the national parks?
Well, the wonderful thing about the parks, when we think about it, is they belong to you. And when you come out, you know, that's your land to enjoy. Rangers and volunteers are more than happy to talk to you. And as you said, some people prefer an academic or more formal talk, but I have plenty of volunteers and rangers who are happy just to chat with you about anything you want to know about a national park. And the thing is to keep in mind is that they're always available to you. We're happy to answer the most complicated question to the simplest question about history. But it's all about that, you know, just curiosity and how we can help visitors to learn more. It's interesting when I hear about the numbers, when we also look at some of the numbers of how parks can help to, you know, how they impact local neighborhoods. And Fort McHenry certainly helps, you know, in Baltimore. We're actually, I think, the number one place to visit, which I find very heartening. As a Baltimorean myself, I meet so many people who say, I came to town and they told me I absolutely had to come to Fort McHenry. So I feel like people are coming in. You know, we get about 700,000 visitors in a year, and they come from all over the world. So it's not just Americans who are coming into the national parks and learning. We have international visitors who are fascinated by our history and our landscape at parks throughout the country. So the fact that they're there and rangers are certainly welcoming you, what better way to go out and find your park and learn more about your own history?
Absolutely, and this again is going to be a fantastic weekend to do it, September 13th through 15th. That's going to be Defenders Day. The celebration, the large celebration, is going to be on Saturday evening, and it's free beginning at 5 p.m. Could you give me just one more time the rundown of what's going to be going on as a part of that program so we can get people excited to experience their national park?
Well, the evening program, as I said, is going to kick off at 5 p.m. with the Six String Soldiers Guitar Ensemble from the Military District of Washington. So the Army's going to be helping us out there. We will also have a swearing-in ceremony that's going to be conducted by Major General Omar Jones, Baltimorean, who's head of the Military District of Washington. So we'll have some new soldiers taking their enlistment oath at Fort McHenry. What better place than under the Star-Spangled Banner? And then we have a special performance by the U.S. Army Old Guard Fife and Drum Corps, as well as their drill team. So they'll be. This is all just beginning the event,
right?
And so, the next thing we'll have is our own Fort McHenry Guard, giving you that multiple generation of defenders. So we'll have a dress parade with Living History Living History volunteers kitted out in different time periods from the War of 1812, the Civil War, through the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also include some of the civilians who took part in those different eras, so you get an idea of the civilian perspective as well as that of a soldier or sailor from that time period. We'll also recognize, of course, the service of Congressman John Sarbanes and mm-hmm. his dedication to the national parks in his hometown. And then at 7 o'clock, we have a concert put on by the U.S. Army Field Band. They're always always good to listen to. That'll continue until about 8:15 or so, when we'll have a ship-to-shore bombardment that's conducted between the Presidential Salute Battery of uh-huh. the U.S. Army and our fireworks folks. And then at the conclusion of that, mm-hmm. just as they did in 1814, what we'll do is have the Fife and Drum Corps play Yankee Doodle as we raise up the Star-Spangled Banner over the garrison. Not quite in the same defiance as they did in 1814, but the spirit of that continues on.
Absolutely.
Which is what Defenders Day is all about. And that's going to be followed up by a fireworks show underscored by the by the U.S. Army Field Band. So it's a great night. You come mm-hmm. out. It's free after 4 o'clock. So as I said, you bring your cooler, you bring your blanket, and you're good to go.
And absolutely, this weekend has a lot going on. If people would like to find out more about it, or if they want to take a look at this entire program so they don't have to remember all of it from now until then, what are some of the best ways to get that information?
Well, if you want, we have a Defenders Day page on our website. So mm-hmm. if you go to nps.gov/FOMC, Fort McHenry, mm-hmm. You can find information there. You can always also check out our Facebook page. You'll find more information at mm-hmm. Fort McHenry's Facebook page. And, of course, you'll hear Rangers talking about it on and on up until the day itself. So just keep an eye out on that. You can also check our Instagram as it develops. We're encouraging mm-hmm. folks, while they're experiencing whatever it may be, the parade, the Ranger Talks, the event, mm-hmm. whatever it is, we encourage folks to use the hashtag My Defenders Day so that mm-hmm. we realize that we're all experiencing in our own way, and we want to see what our visitors are enjoying while they're here.
And if I can make a programming recommendation to anyone listening, what you do is you go to the Smithsonian American History Museum the weekend before and see the Star-Spangled Banner there, and then the next weekend you go see the spot where it all happened. Ranger Shannon, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm Nathan Scott. I've been speaking with Ranger Shannon McLucas from the Fort McHenry National Monument and Historic Shrine. If you'd like to find out more info, the website is nps.gov/FOMC. The event, Defenders Day, September 13th through the 15th. Thanks so much, and until next time, have a great day.